Number 26. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? I'm talking about the subject on the presence of God. Now, you know, God has showed His presence. Of course, we know through creation, God showed His presence. And so He's done that through creation. He said things are clearly seen through creation. And then I believe God has used His church to show His presence. Every time they go by, people, they look at that steeple. They think of the presence of God. So God does that. And then He does that through Christians. He said, you're the light. And so that lets them know that there is a God, and that's what we're here for. And then He's given us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to let us know of His presence. But I want to talk about this presence because it's confused in the days that we live. Some of this stuff they're causing the presence of God. Yeah, I doubt it. And so, but you can't contain it. We know in this verse, He said, I'm going to build this building, but I want you to know it's not going to contain God. You see, because God is free from all limitations. He can't be limited. You see, He dedicated this, and He wanted to know plainly there in verse 27 that that building was not going to contain the presence of God. You see, the presence of God, if you stay with me, the presence of God is vast. Not only is He everywhere known in this universe, but He bursts out of the limits of the universe and makes Himself known. I said it's kind of like a man, he gains weight, and then he goes in his closet and he gets that suit on and he tries to put it on and he starts bursting out everywhere. It can't contain him. That's the way God is. I've seen that in my ministry. 400 and some revivals I've preached. I've watched people try to contain God. I remember one night in a meeting, and I was preaching, and a woman come up, and she stood. She stood right there while I was preaching. And I thought, my goodness. And I looked down, and I said, ma'am, can I help you? And she said, I need to be saved. She said, I've been here 52 years. She said, I've taught Sunday school. She's talking to me right in front of everybody. And I said, well, get saved. And so she got down there and she began to get saved. And it wasn't long till another fella come down and another one came down. And I'm talking about a church that seemed so dry. It seemed so dry. I'd been there all week. It seemed so dry. That night we had 7 adults that got saved. They couldn't stop the presence of God. You can't contain it. I'm thinking about a place I was on television. This is kind of funny. I was on television one time, and I was in a church. It was around Christmas, and it was a big church, and it was dry, dry. And some woman stood up at the television time, you know, and they had time to go by, and she said, I want to thank God for saving me. And man, she got to weeping and crying, and another woman got to shouting. And you could just tell the preacher was kind of like, And you know what it did? It just bursted out like that suit. He just bursted out everywhere. And I didn't get to preach, and all the camera could do is pan and watch God work. And I'm telling you, you cannot contain God. And I wouldn't try to contain God. You're in trouble when you try to contain God. You see, God cannot be contained. You see, He's distinct in His presence. You see, He exists is everywhere. Now watch this. Not a little there and not a little here. Now you say, what are you talking about? God's not broken up in pieces. Every little piece of this universe has the entire God in it. You don't go to California and say they got some God there and they got some in Kentucky. You know what they do? They got all God in California and they got all God here. You can't break God up. He's big. He bursts out everywhere He wants to. Amen. You see, he's all you get with him. That's why he has no kind of limit. He has no limitation of flesh. You see, God's spirit, he's uncompounded being. He's like any, listen, he's not like any human being you've ever seen. You see, the president can get on television. He's in one place and talks to everybody everywhere. But God's every place talking to everybody everywhere. You see, it's like this. God is everything everywhere so that whenever he's there, he can help you. He's like air and water. You see, when you have air, you have all the components that make up air. When you have a drop of water, you take one drop of water out of the Atlantic Ocean, it's got as much component in that one drop of water as that whole ocean does. That's why you get all of God when you get God. Hey man, ain't you glad of that? You're getting all the presence of God. You see, in other words, you have God with you all the time, everywhere. Amen. Sometimes it might not feel like it, but God is there. Hey man, I'm glad of it, ain't you? I'm getting somewhere. Stay with me. Hey man, praise God. That's why the Bible said the fool said there is no God. It's like on a morning you go out and you ain't got no jacket on and you got goose pimples that big and you're trying to say, it ain't cold out. You're a fool. Like trying to say there is no God. I've been doing this thing, and some of you might have heard me do this. My cousin's a doctor, and I, believe this or not, me been teaching on the anatomy to a bunch of doctors. Anatomy according to God. You see, and I'll just give you a little list. Some of you's heard me do this because I've taught it for years. I go around the country, been everywhere doing this. They're amazed at it. You see, when God made man, here's what he said. He said, you're wonderfully made. Things are clearly seen through creation. I'm sitting there talking to a doctor and I said, you're without excuse because of creation, because of the way a man is made. I said, you know, I got to talk to this doctor and I said, you know, if you got seven of anything in the Bible, it's completion. In other words, God made 7 days, that completes a week. I looked at this doctor and I said, that's why he put seven holes in your head. You got two here and two here and two here and one there. You got all your teeth, you got 28. 14 uppers and 14 lowers. 7 times 4. There's 14 bones in your face. 2 times 7. I told that doctor, you woke up too late to tell me he's not a God. He shows his presence through creation. Y'all with me? That's why it takes a dog 63 days to have a dog. 7 times 9, but a cat's 56 days. Hen sets on her brood 21 days, but a duck sets 28. A roach is 21, and all other insects is 14. An elephant, 630 days, 7 times 90. A woman, if she carries full term, you know what she does? She carries 40 weeks, that's 280 days, 7 times 40. But a weasel's 35 days. Then they look at God and say, if God would show me something, I might believe. Are you crazy? Y'all with me? I was telling about, I've got social worker's license for the state of Kentucky, and I had to take nursing classes, and I went in this nursing class. You ought to heard this doctor teaching Bible and didn't even know he was. Went in this room. Here's what he said. We're going to show you how women have babies. He's got this big screen up there. He said, now, first of all, write this down. He said, a female that can't shed blood can't have a baby. In other words, there's no birth without blood. Y'all getting that? No wonder Jesus said you got to be born again. Now he said, write this down. He said, second of all, he said she's got to shed water. If she don't shed water, there won't be no baby. First time I was born at Bethesda Hospital, blood and water everywhere. Second time I was born at Calvary. He stuck in his side, he stuck his spear. Now come blood and water. Blood and water the first time, blood and water the second time. But here's what got me. He said, now, he turned this little thing on. He said, you see that thing looks like a tadpole? He said, now when that thing looks like a tadpole gets in that egg, he said, that's going to produce a baby every time. And he said, now, he used the word sperm, it's the word seed. It's the same word as seed. But I don't know if you know this, it's also the same word as word, W-O-R-D. That's why you can't get saved with word only. Paul said, my preaching didn't come in word only. No, we got a bunch of word only preachers. That's why people ain't getting saved. But you can't get saved in spirit only either. Now, when he said, now it's kind of like this, when the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God get in the womb of your heart, produces a baby every time. That's how God lets you know His presence. Did you know diseases are in sevens? You got the 7 day months, but you got the 14 day measles. God said, when I get done, you're going to know I'm God. You get on the internet, check out Dr. Stratton. Dr. Stratton done a study. He said he can't understand. He's a heart surgeon. He said the heart beats slower. Now, I'm just telling you what he said. You get on there, look at it yourself. He said it beats slower every 7 days, and we can't figure out why. I can. He put a Sabbath in you. You're going to rest whether you like it or not. Did you know this is kind of interesting? Go in one of these health places and tell them, I want all the minerals. They sell minerals. Go in there and ask them. Say, I want all the minerals. Now, you know what you got in your body? You got 28 minerals. I check you, you're going to have zinc. That's a mineral. You know where minerals come from? Dirt. I could take your dirt and your blood and put it under a microscope, and you'll have the same minerals in your blood that's in that dirt. You say, why? Doctor asked me why. I said, because God scooped down one day and made man. And that's to let you know there is a presence of God. God's here. He lets you know he started this thing. Man ain't started this thing. He started this thing. Now, in school, what they do, they teach you there's seven vital organs. There's a brain and there's a heart, all right, two. There's two lungs, four. There's two kidneys, six, and a liver. Don't look at me like that. That's what they said. Do you know there's only seven colors of eyes you can have? There's brown and green and blue. You got your basic, but you do know they got hazel and mint, and there's seven of them. You have to check it out. God's proved He's God, and He's proved His presence is here. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Ain't you glad of that? That means God's with us. You see, God is in all the nooks and crannies that you don't know about. For example, did you ever hear somebody say this? I don't think my prayers are getting above the ceiling. Well, they don't have to get that far. He's standing right there. He's right there. Presence of God is there. You see, He's not limited by space. We can only go one place at a time, but God don't have them. He's not limited like that. You see, we have God. He's free from all limitations. You see, it's like the black preacher said, He's so high you can't get over Him. He's so low you can't get under Him. And He's so wide you can't get around Him. David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. He said, how can I flee from the presence of God? You can't get away from the presence of God. I was thinking about years ago, we've talked about it. Years ago, me and Brother Stuart was talking about it. He came to my church not long ago. I was walking down Vine Street, 1967. Just a little boy. I seen a fella out there sweeping, and it was Frank Stewart. I said, what are you doing? He said, we got a church here. He said, where do you live? I told him where he lived. He come to my house. Didn't go back then. Next time he come back, he had him with him. Lawrence Richardson. Y'all with me? So I went to a meeting they had, and they had this preacher. He's the craziest looking thing I ever seen. His name was Claude Wilson. I mean, he looked crazy. He looked like Bozo. He was bald here and hair out here. Looked like he was on heroin all the time. Looking crazy. Man, he could preach. Do you know what I did? I was Church of Christ. He'll tell you, we're Church of Christ. You know how hard it is to get a Church of Christ out of that? My grandpa, they got a book that thick. Get on there, look and read about my grandpa. And they called him Brother Masters, the biggest Church of Christ preacher in this country. My great uncle was state senator. My great great uncle was state senator. And they wrote a book about him. I debated the Church of Christ up in Danville, Virginia. When I walked in there with that book, they knew who it was. I'm not kidding you. That's their Jack Isles. Shelburne Masters. They used to, Ben Bogart used to come and debate my grandpa and people like that. There's debates of my grandpa. Y'all with me? But they came to my house and I got in that meeting and I went home. And I was under conviction that night. And I thought, I'll get out of here. And it was like when I went home, I laid down and somebody went, hello? I found out you can't get away from God. You can't get away from the presence of God. He's not limited to any kind of space or any kind of time. He's too big to avoid. Amen. You can't avoid him. He's too close to ignore. The good thing about God is he's too big, you can't get over him, but he's so close you can't get away from him. I tried to get away from God. But in 1973, I didn't get away from him. I got saved in 1973, April of 1973, trying to run from God. Y'all with me? You can't get away from his presence. That's why the Bible said, for in him we have and move and have our very being. We're trying to contain God. We're trying to control God. Amen. That's what's killed us is we've become professional churches. Y'all listen to me. Professional churches. Had an uncle, pastored 800 people in Cincinnati. He said we were a professional church. Song leader had a degree. Piano player had a degree. I had a degree. Everybody's got degrees. And then we become professional. We try to run it like a corporation. And what we're doing, we're losing the presence of God for it. I'm for organization, don't you get me wrong. You're looking at somebody that's real organized. You want to see a picture of my suits? I've got about 100 suits. I'm organized. My shoes are all organized. My underwear, I'm really organized. But I'm not going to organize God out of the church. Something happened to us in the 70s. We started thinking we got to appeal to sinners. God never told us to appeal to a sinner. I know what I'm talking about. I've been full-time a long time. Before I pastored, I was full-time. We'd sit in there and figure out, now what can we do this Sunday for them? What can we come up with? Ninja Turtle Sunday. We'll try that. That'll work. Yeah, it's working. You know, I had 80-some teenagers. I was a youth director over, and none of them's in church because I suckered them. You can't sucker young people. I have them to come to my church all the time. How do you get your young people to worship like that? Brother Hatfield's been at my church. You've been at my church. You know what they do? They worship and they sing and they shout and they praise. I found out one thing. You can't give them that other stuff If you're going to do it like I do. I tell them we're going to go ride rides and God ain't got anything to do with this. And we're going to go have fun and feed our flesh a while. We're not going to go ride roller coasters in the name of Jesus. We want the presence of God. I'm talking about y'all talking about the presence of God. Hey, man. Hey, man, y'all right? I'm just trying to help you here. I'm glad that I know something about the presence of God after this many years. And I'm glad I know when it's there. Amen. Now, let me give you these if you're going to have it. Number one, y'all with me? Sin has to be preached on. It's hard, but it's got to be preached on. We have, in these days, we've learned, it's kind of like Billy Mitchell said one time, him and another fellow was preaching. I wouldn't tell you who it was, but Billy got up after him, and I was there. And he said to those people, you've heard a miracle. And I couldn't believe he said it. He said, you heard a miracle this week. He said, so-and-so preached out of the book of Jude and never mentioned sin. He said, that'd take a miracle to do that. See, we need to get back to preaching on sin. I'm not talking about being ugly. But I know I've traveled enough to know if you're not preaching on sin, you won't have much God in your church. You won't have the presence of God in your church. Number two, we need to get back to scriptures. I'm afraid we're quoting more men than we are God. I'm trying to help a young preacher. I said, you need to get, and I know some of you ain't going to like what I got ready to say, and I'm not trying to be mean. I said, you need to get rid of some of them Puritan preachers. Me personally, I don't think they know much. They know a bunch of cliches. They got a bunch of good sayings. You ever notice their books, hardly any scriptures in it? It's a bunch of cliches. They say something so good it makes you love it. Then you think that's scriptural. I heard one of them talk, one of these, I tell you how smart they are. I read one Puritan fella. He didn't believe in the tribulation Puritan things, and he said there's no way that somebody could talk to everybody around the world to do that. But he said that in 1680-something. So they're not as smart as you think. I've read it, I've studied it, and I'll go through the books with you if you want me to. Gill's not near as smart as you think he is. When you dissect it like I dissect it, I'll go through it with you. That stuff is killing our young preachers. That's destroying the fire in them. We need to stick with the scriptures. Amen. Number three, got to stick with the Holy Spirit. You got to trust Him. You ever have to trust Him? I've had to trust Him a few times. I tell the story about I had a woman couldn't sing a lick. Man, she was terrible. She couldn't sing. Her brother was there. And he was the mayor of the town. And he was coming some. And man, he looked like he was under conviction. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you sing her. And I'm sitting there thinking, she can't sing. And she couldn't sing. Or she really couldn't. And he said, you sang her. So I thought, I'm just going to trust Him. And I got her up, and I remember what she sung. And she sounded like this. She sounded just like this. There is no hiding place of God's amazing grace. And I heard him start to cry. He come forward and got saved by the good grace of God. Sometimes you just got to trust Him. I was in another meeting. I think I was in a meeting with the Rochesters, and a boy got up, and I was getting ready to preach, and I was so excited because it was so high. And that preacher said, we got one more singer. So we're going to let him sing. And that boy walked up there, and he couldn't hardly walk. And I'm not making fun, but he was in bad shape. And then he got up and said, I won't sing. He said, I didn't have no father when I grew up. But he said, God saved me. He said, now that I have my Father. He said, oh, how I want Jesus. And I thought, man, he's ruining this. Oh, how I want Jesus. I heard some woman in the back going, "Ooh!" I got to shout, and I never did get to preach. God said, "I want you to know I'll use who I want to. You got to have the spirit to follow." Y'all with me? Number four, there's got to be some separation. There's got to be separation. We've got so worldly and so, it's our music's got worldly. These new gospel songs are all about what I did, what my friend did. It don't have any, I've played music all of my life. I've played probably, and I'm not kidding you, I've played on 400 or 500 albums over the years. I used to play music for QCA Record Company in Cincinnati, and I done all their guitar playing and their banjo playing and stuff like that. And I'm just telling you, this gospel music is a mess. It doesn't matter anymore. I've noticed something about singing. I called a big preacher. If you want to know who it is, you can talk to me privately. But it broke my heart. He was my hero. He had Guy Penrod in to sing with hair down to here. All right? This is the independent. This is one of our heroes. So I wrote him a 5-page letter. And Linda, my wife, said, "Somebody called for you a while ago." And it was him. I thought he won't call back. He did. I said, "You've been my hero. Your daddy was my hero. And I want you to know you hurt me. Not only did you let him sing, but you let him preach." Here's what he said. He said, "Well, he has acne real bad, and he tries to cover his acne." Y'all with me? I'm against that. Y'all against that? I'm against that. I don't care who it is. I said, "Listen, buddy, you can paint it any way you want to. That's wrong, and you ought to condemn it. Long hair still wrong. I don't care how they can sing. You get on the road, you'll find out singers get a pass. They got any kind of talent, they can do what they want. I'm just telling you, it's that way. I'm just telling you, it's that way. Y'all listen to me. I don't think you get a pass. I don't care how big your church is." One of the things he said to me, "How big is your church?" What does that have to do with what I'm talking to you about? That's what I asked him. Don't have a thing to do with it. It's wrong. But I know if I said something, some people would get mad. That's why I can't mention his name. But if you want to know his name, I'll tell you his name. Okay? I'll tell you his name, because you can tell him, "Hey, Durbin Spears called you, and I want to know, did you say this?" There has to be separation. And then last of all, the Savior has to be lifted. Fella called me up. I was at the sword meeting, and I like going. And so I went to this table, and this fella said to me, of course, that thing that big, you're not going to keep every bad thing out. But here's what he said. He said, "Now, we got a plan here." He said, "We got 10 things you can do." He said, "We have about a 72% success rate in winning souls." And said, "You can use this." And I said, "Well, we've got one. It's 100%. We have a plan." "So what's that?" I said, "Well, we'll lift Christ up. He'll draw all men. He gets them all." Amen. We need to get back. I remember when soul winning was soul winning. It wasn't salesmanship. Amen. Don't tell me I'm not a soul winner. I've won people to God. Brother Stewart knows that. You know how I went full-time in a church? Let me tell you how I went full-time in a church, winning souls. I had 30 people saved at my house in about 8 months, and they put me on full-time. I did full-time Bible studies for 3 years. That's what I did, Bible studies, 2 times a week for 3 years. So don't tell me I'm against it. This is messed up what we're doing today. It's messed up. I'm telling you, if you get a message, lift Christ up, you'll have people saved. I'm just trying to give some instruction. I really wasn't trying to preach, just trying to give some instructions, try to help somebody. I pray that I helped you. I'm just telling you, lift Christ up, and he'll get the job done. You come, Brother Richardson, I'm done.